Thank you all for coming today. I'm going to talk today about susceptibility to electronic cigarette use among current non-smokers. But before we begin, I'd like to acknowledge the contributions of my fellow collaborators at the Julius B. Richmond Center of Excellence at the American Academy of Pediatrics. I have no relationships to disclose, and our research is funded by the Flight Attendant Medical Research Institute as well as Legacy. By way of background, I want to start with a quote by Matthew Myers that I think really summarizes what a lot of us who study electronic cigarettes, where we kind of are right now, is that there's an enormous gap between what people hoped would be the public health potential of these products and the reality of the marketplace. And as way of background, I want to start off summarizing a recent study that we just published in Nicotine and Tobacco Research. We were looking at trends in electronic cigarette use over the last from 2010 to 2013, and as you can see from the slides, we saw remarkable growth in both ever use and current use, and this mirrors some of the research that other people have released as well, looking at trends in electronic cigarette use. What's even more interesting is when you carve it up, looking at trends by smoking status, or not trends, but so this is 2013 data, so we're looking at who uses electronic cigarettes in 2013, and not surprisingly, smokers are a lot more likely to use these products than non-smokers. And about half of smokers have tried these products, and about a third of smokers actually currently use these products. I was a little surprised by how high that number was, but I wasn't surprised that smokers were more likely. But a non-trivial percentage of never smokers and former smokers are also using these products. And if you carve the data up differently and you look at the population of people who currently use electronic cigarettes, about 12.6, about 13% of the people who are currently using electronic cigarettes are never established smokers. That is, they've never smoked more than 100 cigarettes in their life. And about 20% are former smokers. And granted, it's possible that some of these former smokers actually quit using combustible cigarettes with the use of electronic cigarettes. So we looked at what percentage of our current electronic cigarette smokers are distant former smokers. That means they quit before 2007. They quit before electronic cigarettes were available in the U.S. And then that number falls from 19.9 to 5.8. But the take-home point is that somewhere between 18% and 32% of the market for people who are currently using and buying electronic cigarettes are people who were not using combustible tobacco, at least combustible cigarettes, when they started using electronic cigarettes. And that, to us, was a pretty alarming finding because it kind of shows that there's a public health impact beyond harm reduction with the introduction of these products to the market. What we wanted to look at was susceptibility of non-smokers. That is, of the non-smokers out there, what percentage of them are susceptible to electronic cigarette use? Our data are based on the National Social Climate Survey of Tobacco Control. This is a cross-sectional survey that we've been doing since the year 2000. We started off with a random digit dial landline approach to getting a representative sample. That worked great in 2000. It was cheap, it was quick, and it was a nice way to do our surveys. It was good in 2001. By 2007, it was becoming a suspect approach because of wireless substitution. So in 2009, we beta tested or pilot tested several alternative frames. We kept the landline frame for continuity's sake, but we added, after looking at cell-based frames, address-based frames, we landed on the Knowledge Network, now known as GFK, their probability-based internet panel. This was the easiest, most cost-effective, quickest way to collect data to give us an alternative or complementary frame to our landline frame. The data that I'm going to discuss today are based on this survey, as was the previous study I just mentioned. We administered the survey in the fall of 2013. We asked a lot of questions about tobacco and tobacco control. One of the questions we asked was, we asked this to people who had never tried an electronic cigarette, do you think that you will try an electronic cigarette soon? The answer to possibilities were yes, probably not, and definitely not. We considered people to be susceptible if they did not respond definitely not in their intention to try an electronic cigarette. Our landline survey had a N of 1,552 with a cooperation rate of about 92%, and our internet panel had 1,693 respondents with a final completion rate of 63.5%. And we're interested in how long people had been on the panel as kind of a covariate, just because we thought that people who'd been on this panel for a long time might answer questions differently that they didn't really have a strong opinion on. And so length of time on the panel ranged from 44 days to 14 years, with the median time being 2.2 years. in our results, about 86% of adults have never tried an electronic cigarette. We had a fairly large sample of never smokers, about 1,438 never smokers, and former smokers, about, well, exactly 618. When we looked at susceptibility, we found that about not quite 7% of never smokers reported some level of susceptibility to, reported being susceptible to using electronic cigarettes, and about 14% of former smokers, and that was statistically significantly different. It wasn't surprising that former smokers would be more willing to try an electronic cigarette than never smokers. We also looked at age groups within smoking status, because we felt like, given what we've seen in other types of data, that younger adults might be more susceptible than older adults. And so when we looked at the youngest adults, 18 to 24, we see that almost 18% of never smokers were susceptible to electronic cigarette use, and about half of former smokers between the ages of 18 and 24 were susceptible. Susceptibility goes down as people get older, and in both groups there were significant differences across age categories. We also were curious to know, is there a relationship between seeing, or at least recalling seeing an ad for an electronic cigarette and susceptibility? And what we found is that there was a statistically significant difference, that adults who reported having seen an electronic cigarette ad, where 18% of them were, or 17% of them were susceptible to electronic cigarette use, compared to about 12.5% for people who have not seen an ad. With apologies to Jenny McCartney, we did not find an effect for celebrity endorsements. There were no differences with celebrity endorsements. We were also curious to look at whether or not they'd seen an ad made a difference by age group. And at this point, we're losing a lot of power because we've carved our sample up pretty far. But 18 to 24-year-olds, it was not statistically significant. But young adults who had seen an ad were about twice as likely to report susceptibility. There was a statistically significant difference for younger middle-aged adults. About 20.3% versus 11.8% reported susceptibility if they'd seen an ad. And then there was no difference for the older adults. So the marketing appeared to be the most effective on affecting on changing susceptibility, or relating to susceptibility among the younger adults. So the take-home points, over 20% of young adult, never, and former smokers who have never tried e-cigarettes are reporting susceptibility to them. And again, as the previous speaker mentioned, in an era where we have lots of marketing on that, in places where we typically haven't seen nicotine advertisements since the 1970s, there is a need for more regulation of these products, in my opinion, because we are seeing, in our previous study, we saw a large chunk of the users of these products are actually non-smokers and never were smokers, and or at least weren't smoking when they used these began using these products. And we see also 20% of our population who are not using these things or non-smokers being reporting susceptibility. Limitations. These are self-report cross-sectional data. We also used a non-validated modification of Pearson's susceptibility to smoking variables. And if you have any questions, we'll address them at the end. Thank you.